Before we open our Bibles this morning, just a couple of quick details and housekeeping things and stuff like that. Lou and I met with the Scott family last week, and they asked that we tell you that they are looking for a church home that's closer to them in Canby. And they're good friends. They've been very plugged in at our church and very involved in a lot of different things, from leading worship to cleanup to being in charge of camp out. Anybody feel the stirring of the Lord to oversee that next year? And they love every one of us, every one of you. There's no issue with anybody in our body, anything like that. They just want to find a local church so that when they meet people in Canby, they can invite them to the local church where they're going to attend. So pray for them as they seek to find a church home. And Carrie just asked, and Brenda asked, that I would just share that with you. They've already contacted some of you, and some of you feel free to contact them and talk to them. It's a good, open, hands-open type of a thing. They're not hiding anything, but they're not slinking off either, and they don't want us to think that we'll wait 2 or 3 months and go, where'd they go? And that's a good thing. So we're praying for them and want to continue to do that as they find a local church in the Canby area. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 78. We're 2 weeks away from starting the book of Jonah, and we've already said Jonah's not really a book about a big fish. It's a book about a great God, and I'm going to encourage you to start reading those four chapters in the book of Jonah over and over and over again. Men, lead your families in reading the book of Jonah. Read it around in a circle. Read it at a meal. Read it before you go to bed. Just start reading the book of Jonah so that you can start to immerse yourself in that book. But in the 2 weeks we have before we start the book of Jonah, we wanted to do two sermons, what we call reminder sermons or refreshers or things that remind us. Some people have been with us for years and years, and some people are newer with us. And so today, why we meet together as families each Lord's Day. Why we meet together as families. And Psalm 78 will be our text for this morning. Let me start with a couple of questions. Is Gospel Fellowship Community Church, is this local church equipping parents to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? I believe that we are. I believe that it's a piece of what helps you. Is our Sunday gathering as an age-integrated church where we meet together as families, equipping our children to raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? And again, I believe the answer is yes, by the grace of God. Third question, are there other activities that are not age integrated that assist parents in raising their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? And I believe that there are other non-age integrated activities. And fourthly, is there a difference between family equipping model and an age-integrated model? And I believe that there is, and I believe as a church we've moved there, and it's been kind of a gentle move, and it's been a good move, and I'll hope to show that from the text and from just the way our church operates day in and day out. I believe that we move from a fully age-integrated model to a family-equipping model, and we've done that without compromising the truth of the gospel. That's primary, and I'll address that a little bit later. The truth of the gospel is primary to everything we do as we gather. We've done that without compromising meeting together as families each Lord's Day, and also raising up parents as the primary disciple makers for their kids. Let me define a family equipping ministry model. Begins with a biblical assumption that God has called parents to serve as the primary disciple makers in their children's lives. The church is to help and to equip you to do that. Parents are the primary disciplers of their children, and the church is to help and equip you to do that. And I believe Scripture supports this. Look with me at Psalm 78. It's our text. I could go to several. I could go to Deuteronomy. I could go to Ephesians. But Psalm 78 is our text for this morning. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would You bless the reading of Your word, the preaching of Your word, and the application of Your word this morning. For Your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. Our outline is very simple this morning. From Psalm 78. Number one, we know. Number two, we tell. Thirdly, we hope. We know, we tell, and hope. We want to align our proclamation as a congregation and our practice so that parents, and especially fathers, are acknowledged and trained and equipped and held accountable for the personal and primary responsibility of our children's discipleship. Everything we do as a congregation should align ourselves with that. Our text and others like it give us this command or this charge, or marching orders, if you will, for a family discipleship model. And we remind ourselves of that. First, the text tells us that we need to know. Verse 3, know. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We're commanded to hear and know the Word of God as parents. It's our responsibility, parents, moms and dads, it's your responsibility to hear and know the Word of God. How do we as a church equip you to do that? If we have a family equipping model, how do we as a church equip you to do that? First of all, our Sunday gathering, where we meet here every Sunday, should be an equipping ministry for you. You should be better equipped to be the discipler in your home by gathering together on Sunday morning. That's one of the benefits of meeting together week after week after week, is our Sunday gathering and the equipping that happens here. Secondly, things like men's discipleship, ladies' Bible study and prayer, our retreats that are coming up. All of these are important aspects of equipping you. When John stood up and said, come to the men's retreat. And Martha said, come and receive a piece of chocolate and sign up for the men's or ladies' retreat. We didn't do chocolate, Keith. Man, we probably have more people to sign up. But equipping, men's discipleship that's going to meet on Saturday mornings, every third Saturday, our ladies' Bible study and prayer, the seeking Him that's happening, the retreats, all of these things are important equipping aspects of that. The Bible dinner fellowship that happens every second or third or fourth week that Steve and Vlad are kind of overseeing there. What a great opportunity happening on selected Sunday evenings to equip you in discipleship. Marriage groups. Marriage groups are an equipping aspect for couples in our church. And finally, as your elders, we want to strongly encourage your personal Bible study. That's vital. That's vital. To come and get something on Sunday and then not receive anything until the next Sunday, you become weak spiritually. And so part of equipping you, congregation, is to encourage you to be hungry for the Word of God in your own personal study and not have it all just fed to you. Our model of gathering together as families on Sundays does not do away with all age segregated ministries. However, we see this as primarily as family-led initiatives. These are initiatives that will spring up not from here down, but are family-led initiatives that we want to support and encourage as a church. Each family-led activity should partner with parents in the task of discipleship. Each family-led activity should partner with parents in the task, whether it's folk dancing, whether it's apologetics, whether it's speech and debate, whether it's swim team, whether it's homeschool soccer and basketball and everything else. Your family may choose or not choose to be involved in these family-led activities, but they're available to you. They're available to you. Let's talk for just a couple minutes about reasons to be involved in some of these things. I think these family-led activities that strengthen you in your discipleship of your kids, one of the reasons you may want to be involved is to gather with other like-minded believers, gathering with other for encouragement, for edification, and sometimes just for fun. Just for fun. Ladies, November 13th, you're having a dinner party that night. And the purpose of that is just to hang out and have fun together. And that's a good and a right thing to do. Some of you play Ultimate Frisbee. That's great. That's fantastic. Thursday night basketball. Park days during the summer. Those kind of things happen where somebody posts on the city and says, I want to hang out with whoever wants to hang out. This Thursday it's going to be 102 degrees or 62 like this Thursday. It's going to be 102 degrees and I'm going to be at the park. Who wants to come and join us? Those are great. We're encouraged as we get together. And it actually, even though it's just fun, there's discipleship that happens there. There's encouragement. There's growth in the Lord. Another reason to be involved. So, first reason, like-minded believers. Second reason, what I call multiplication of witnesses or confirming witnesses. As our kids were growing up, it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to say something to them and get that blank stare back that said, well, you have to say that because you're mom and dad. But when they hear Stoney and Tracy or Gordy and Carol or Pete and Christine say the same thing, they go, oh, maybe mom and dad aren't so far off after all, because these parents are saying the same thing that my parents are saying, and you get this confirmation of witnesses that happens that goes, this is good, and our kids are hearing the same thing from a number of different sources. That's another reason to be involved. A third reason, growth in church community. What we used to call years ago, it's now called community, it used to be called body life, right, back in the day, back in the 70s and 80s. Now they call it community. Growth in community together. We grow as a community. We grow in unity as we are together and are encouraged. Another reason to be involved, with some of the ministries, it's a way to engage our young adults after high school graduation. Truth Seekers is specifically targeted as a family-led initiative by the Lindens and the Newmans to invite into their home young people who have graduated from high school, an opportunity to share and encourage each other and get teaching in something they may not get on Sunday morning and they may not get in any other context, but that happens. So a way to engage our young adults after high school is another reason maybe to be involved. And then finally, another reason to be involved, a model for serving together. We're modeling serving together when we do these activities. But then you say, but there's reasons not to be involved, too. I mean, everybody can't be involved in everything, right? Right? I've got like 8 reasons why not to be involved in something. I have 5 for ways to be involved, but 8 not to. Here's the first one, why not to be involved. It's the wrong season of life. It's the wrong season of life for you to be involved in. I'm not going to be involved in Ultimate Frisbee. I would die. Whoever plays Ultimate Frisbee, I would just stand there and wait for you to throw the frisbee to me. I don't even know the rules. It's the wrong season of life for me to be involved in Ultimate Frisbee. But for some of you, it's exactly what you need to be doing, hanging out with other Christian brothers and sisters and having fun together. And sometimes it's the wrong season. Some of it is not age appropriate. We had a discussion this week. It's not age appropriate for some of our young men to maybe be at the retreat this year because of the content. There's some content that you may not, as dads, you may not have shared with your sons yet, and it's just not appropriate yet. And so you say, I'm coming as dad, but it's not the right season yet for my son to come or my daughter to be there. So it's not age appropriate. I think that's a very legitimate reason why not to be involved. because it's not age appropriate. Thirdly, perhaps it's a family-led initiative, it's a targeted ministry that just doesn't suit your family. I think that's perfectly fine. When somebody says Thursday night basketball, that's not for every man and for every young man. It's for a group of people. It may not suit your family, and that's good. It's what I would call a targeted initiative or an interest. Fourthly, a large family might be a reason. We have several families in our church that have large families, and once you get involved in one activity, you know, this one's a soccer person, this one's a this person, this one's a that person, you find that you're going every direction all at once, and it becomes very difficult, and you just decide as a husband and wife, we're going to limit our outside activities for the sake of our larger family, and we're going to be involved in that. And we say, the Lord bless you for doing that. That's great. That's not a problem. It's available. There are some people that will take advantage of those things, but as a family, you say, we can't have 12 kids in soccer. It's just in 11 different leagues in 9 different locations. It's just not going to work. And that's good. That's another reason not to be involved. Another reason. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you think Sunday's enough. That's it. I put in my time, I give you my 2 hours. If I stay for a shared meal, I give you 3 or 4, and that's it. And I don't want to be involved in anything else. And for some, that may be a reason to not be involved in anything else. And I just, on that, I would just say, just be aware of what's happening and make sure that you're, what I would call, taking a full drink of water of the life of the church and not just a little sip. Because maybe you should push yourself and be involved in a few more things. But for you right now, Sunday and no more. That's all I want to do. For some of you, a reason not to be involved, you're already involved in everything. And I would say you probably need to ratchet back on one or two things. And you're already involved in everything. And that may be another reason not to get involved in something that comes up. For some, it's activities outside of church life. Some of you excel at a sport. And if you get really good at a sport, they take a lot of your time. And you have to make a family decision if you get involved in those pro soccer leagues and things like that, or those advanced teams. And a lot of time, they happen on a Sunday morning. And you may, because of outside activities, you may choose to be involved in less here. But you're weighing that responsibility of that. And also, I think one other one is distance. We come from a number of different locations, from Tigard to Molino to downtown Milwaukee and every place in between. And it's just too far to come on a weeknight to be involved in this. And I totally get that. And I think that's a legitimate reason not to be involved, is because it's just too far away. So there's a variety of ways our church can assist you in knowing God's word in a deeper way. And a lot of these activities are a way where you're rubbing shoulders with people who are like-minded and who are hungry to grow in their walk with the Lord. And as you get involved in these activities, that it helps and assists you in a way. Secondly, to tell and to teach. Look at verses 4 and 5. We will not hide them, the teaching, from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He establishes a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. So our gathering on Sundays as family is together is one of the ways that we tell and teach our children the truth of the gospel. What are the benefits of gathering together as families like we do on a Sunday? Gathering together. The first thing I would say is observe. The kids, parents, the kids are watching you. The kids are watching you. Kids, you're watching your mom and dads, but you're looking beyond your mom and dads. And younger generations learn as much from what they observe as from what they actually are told. They're watching you. They're watching you worship. They're watching you praise the Lord. They're watching you come to the open mic. They're watching you check the pastor to see if he's on track or not on track. All of that. Many voices is the second thing. The benefits of telling and teaching together on Sunday. Observe. Many voices are saying that actions speak louder than words. Many voices together. I think there's a benefit in our collective voice together, worshiping the Lord and learning about the things of the Lord. And thirdly, communication. What would we communicate if every Sunday we gathered the adults, shuffled the kids off, and said, come back when you're ready for big church. What are we communicating when we do that? Our model says there's a benefit in worshiping together. As hard as it is, kids, as hard as it is to sit still, we're communicating something. If we sent them away and said, come back when you're older, when you're ready to be involved in big church, it's just something we've chosen to say, let's meet together as families. There's a better benefit in doing that. I love it when babies cry while we're preaching. I think that's so cool. I'll tell you one other thing. Half the time when we preach, we don't hear the baby cry. We don't. You're just in a zone. You're just going. And somebody says, I'm so sorry that my baby cried, or I'm so sorry that they were noisy. And it's like, what baby? What noise? We don't even hear it. So it happens. I'm going to tread a little bit softly here. And I'm going to just, gathering together as families is wonderful. There may be a time in the future, and we'll talk about this as a leadership team and as a church, there may be a time in the future when we would consider a nursery for that 1 to 4 age group. And you go, oh, that's not in our model. We don't do that. We meet together as families. Not the non-Christian who just comes to faith in Christ doesn't. If we're reaching out evangelistically and people come to faith in Christ and they have no understanding of church and how it runs and things like that, they may need that 1 hour break, 30 minute break, for whatever it is, just to be able to hear the Word of God. New believers have no church background. Is our model a barrier to some of them? And I would say, yes, it has been. We've had some come and visit that haven't stayed because it was just too hard for them to do that. So I'm not saying we're starting a nursery. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm saying I think it's something we need to look at as a church. We need to prayerfully consider this shift for the sake of visitors, for the unchurched, and maybe even for the weary mom that's had a rough week, that's been with us year after year, but they've had a rough week. And it's not a forced thing. We're not going to have a deacon walk around saying, we've all experienced this when we visit, you know we have a nursery. You know we have a nursery. And you go, I know. And you just hold on to your baby. We're not saying, you know, are you with me on that? Let's just be, are we being so myopic and looking at our model that we're saying we're not welcoming to new converts or to outsiders who would come that have no knowledge of how church operates, and that would actually bless them and they could actually get some teaching and instruction. Our desire is to have an intergenerational church family where relationships span the decades and all ages are served side by side. That's my heart. I know that's your heart too. An intergenerational church family where relationships span the decades and all ages are served side by side. We have gray hair in this church. Praise God for that. Just besides me. There's other people too. And then we have the very young in our church and we have all ages in between. Serving side by side in Sunday gatherings, productive fellowship, set up and clean up, older teaching younger. That let me show you instead of just let me tell you. Let me show you that serving side by side. We want to encourage that and keep that going. Variety of ages leading in worship. We're talking, it's time for some of you in the next generation up that are musically inclined to start leading worship teams instead of just being part of them. And that's a good thing, leading us in worship. And then family-led initiatives that meet throughout the week in homes where parents and young people meet together. We have those groups, those Bible study groups, Infusion, and True Seekers are happening, and other activities specifically for students. They don't replace our Sunday gathering. You should never have something like that. Sunday afternoon Infusion or Bible study fellowship should never replace our Sunday gathering. That's in addition to our Sunday gathering, because you're growing in your walk with the Lord and you want more knowledge and insight and things like that. So, as we gather as a multi-generational body, we want to worship God together. We want to sit under the preaching of the Word. We want to pray together. We want to have communion together, enjoy our fellowship together. And when we do that, our kids are not left wondering what the purpose of the church is. They're not confused about what the purpose of the church is. They're experiencing it each week in church. So this knowing the truth and teaching the truth should naturally lead towards, verse 7 says, hope. Hope. Look at verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I know the slides are gone, so I'll slow down here a little bit. The knowing and the teaching of the Word of God is for the express purpose that we would all put our hope in God. The knowing and teaching, that Psalm 78, those first verses, is for the express purpose that we would put our hope in God. And this is key. Our hope is not in the model. Our hope is in God. Our hope is not in the model. Our hope is in God. It's not a formula. Go to this type of church and you're guaranteed this type of outcome. Guess what? There's the First Baptist Church down the street with Awana and youth group and everything else. They have some great fruit coming out of that church. Out of high school and college, great fruit coming out of that church. It's not the model. Our hope is in God, not in the model. And it certainly isn't a formula. You come here and this is a guaranteed outcome. The early church met together gives us a glimpse of this hope and their confidence in God. Acts 2:42 through 40 is a very common passage right there. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's a very common passage. We've heard it many times. But if you look at that, what was happening? Hearts were being changed. Hearts were being changed. As we gather together as families, we do it because we want hearts to be changed and transformed, as it was in Acts there. Secondly, people were moved to action and said they needed to do something with what they heard, the teaching they were receiving, the instruction they were receiving. They said they're moved to action, and that should be the case with us. Well, you hear on Sundays and at other times as in Family Led Initiative should move you to action, move you to action. And thirdly, from this text, I see that God blessed their meeting together. The Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. God actually blessed their gathering together. So as we meet together as families, and we'll continue to do that, your children should learn and will learn that our gathering exists chiefly to glorify God, not to please them. Our gathering serves chiefly to glorify God, not to please them. Going to church is not about what pleases you. It's about what pleases God. And in the process of going to church and being involved in what pleases God, we are blessed and enriched by being together. Not everything that happens on a Sunday, not every song that Galen picked will be your favorite song. Not every text that we preach from will be your favorite text. Not every style of whatever will be your favorite style. But our children will learn that our gathering together exists chiefly to glorify God. Secondly, your children will also experience what it means for elders, Ephesians 4:12-13, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Elders equipping you for ministry. We see that as we gather together as families. Elders equipping you. And it's an ongoing equipping that happens. It's an ongoing. There's a benefit. There's a blessing to you as we equip you as we go into the book of Jonah. Or as we just completed the book of Hebrews. There's a blessing and a benefit allowing us as elders and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's a view of your elders. It's a burden of ours, if you will, that we continue to engage our young people in the life of the entire congregation. Then and only then can we model and shape a biblical view of church as we entrust the faith from one generation to the next. So let me conclude with a couple of thoughts this morning. I've got five things. First of all, The gospel is the main thing, not age integration. Don't make meeting together as families an idol. The gospel is the main thing, not age integration. If we stop preaching the gospel here, it doesn't matter how many families meet together. The gospel remains the main thing, and it will remain the main thing within this context and this model that we meet. Secondly, parents, especially fathers, are the primary disciple makers of their children. That intimidated me at first. When I first started coming to Household of Faith years ago, that really intimidated me. I'll just give you a quick history lesson. I would go to church, sing in the choir, listen to the teaching, and when 12 o'clock came, I would tell my wife, I'll meet her at the car, and then she would gather the kids, and then we'd all go to the car and go home. And I knew the concept of being the primary disciple maker in my home, but I was taking a little sip of church and not really fully involved. And it, when I came to this church and started to hear this teaching, tag I'm it, it took my breath away at first. Because tag the pastor was supposed to be it. Tag the Sunday school teacher was supposed to be it. Tag the youth group minister was supposed to be it. Not tag I'm it. But when you grow in that, you realize that you need a steady diet of the Word of God in your own life, personally and corporately, to be the primary disciple makers for your children. Thirdly, the church serves to equip families through a variety of ministries outside of our Sunday meeting, and not all of them will be age integrated, and that is just fine. And if you look back, we've moved from it all needs to happen on Sunday to there's a lot of great stuff that happens during the week, and it's not always age integrated. Fourthly, whenever we gather, it is an opportunity to serve one another and bring glory to God. Whenever we gather, it's an opportunity to serve each other. We come to church with an attitude of service, to serve. How can I serve? And I don't mean serve here or here. I mean serving, just whatever needs to have happen, whether it's set up or clean up or assisting a family that is shorthanded on a given week, an opportunity to serve one another. And when we do that, I believe we bring glory to God. And fifthly, we set our hope in God. He alone is the one that changes hearts. He alone is the one that changes. Our hope is in God, not in a model. Our hope is in God. He alone is the one that changes hearts. If you're taking notes, let me give you, I'm not going to go to them, let me just give you four additional texts that I could have taken the sermon from. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. I won't read it. I'll just read it out. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21. Ephesians 6, 4. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Those are four additional. If you want homework, further study about this whole topic of responsibility of parents, especially dads being the primary disciple makers in the home, those additional verses will help you. As we transition to communion this morning, I want to, I have prayed and hoped that this reminder teaching would be a blessing, would be a refresher course, would stir you to action, would raise questions, all of those things. We'll have one more sermon next week. Why do we have a shared meal? Why do we have a shared meal or a picnic during the summer? So I'm going to talk about that next week too, just before we dive into the book of Jonah. But as we go to communion this morning, just can I ask that you would, as you gather as families, would you, through taking the elements, rejoice in the gospel, rejoice in the truth of the gospel, rejoice of that the gospel remains central in this church, and remind ourselves what the body and the blood are about. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together as families and to collectively raise our voices to you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to praise you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I also want to thank you for the opportunities to encourage each other and grow in our walk outside of our Sunday gathering, whether it be an infusion group or a truth seekers group or a speech and debate or apologetics or whatever would happen, or just even playing volleyball together or a church camp out, that all of that, everything that we do, would bring honor and glory to you. and it would help us to mature in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.